It's the Water Over Toilet Paper Podcast. 2 views per day. 19 episodes. And still going strong. Still the same 2 hosts. Nothing has changed. Greatest podcast ever. Yeah.
Episode 19.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello. Let's talk about some...
Biopics.
Biopics.
Particularly feminist biopics, actually.
Feminist actressy biopics. And, yes. What do you think about biopics in
general? What do I think about actresses was the right question.
Mm. What do you think about them? Do they get paid enough? Do you believe in gender?
Too much. They get paid too much.
Yeah.
You should get paid half of what a man makes.
Yeah. In a real world, in a fair world.
In a just society.
Yeah. But what do you think about
biopics?
Biopics, yep. I think they are, for me, they are a little better than reading nonfiction.
Oh, yeah. Reading nonfiction sounds like an absolute chore.
Especially like nonfiction like this. It's like a biography, autobiography shit.
Yeah. Because life tends to be a little boring.
Exactly. So, I think this is the best way for me to get to know someone like this, big, famous and all that.
I think most biopics are... generally, they're just Oscar bait. They're award bait.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot. Because it's very easy.
Yeah, I think in Hollywood, it's especially, it is the case where... if you are making a biopic, you already have a better shot at like getting an Oscar.
Yeah, because it's like, oh my God, it's about someone real. It's
yeah, exactly.
Like so nuanced. It's gonna be like, gonna have Oscar baity. Yeah, like an excellent example of this is Spotlight. Spotlight, yeah. Where it's not a bad movie. These movies aren't bad. They're just generally very. Meh, in the worst way, where you can see there's this enormous amount of talent working on it, but then it amounts to pretty much not as much as it should have.
For me, it's also, I feel like, they keep getting, at least this is my theory on why they become big and all that, they sometimes attribute the person's achievements to the film. Oh, it's the movie is about such a great person, so the movie is great.
We can't really differentiate
between the two.
Yeah.
Like, if you're criticizing the movie, you're criticizing person himself.
It's like, what the heck? What did you say about this person? The Steve Jobs movie is very great. Like, in recent memory, that was pretty great. Mm. Social Network's pretty great.
Yeah.
Of course, right? Woof.
I think the biopics that are also great is when they, instead of trying to show an entire life, like the 3 movies we're going to talk about, they show like specific event that happened. And that's more doable in a film than, it's from a child to a big star to she's dead now type thing. It's not like you can't do it. I feel like these films... are better because they are just so specific and you can actually have enough time to build it up naturally.
Not just build it up. I feel like when it's specific, it's better because thematically it'll be so much more focused in what it wants to do.
It has become like a fashion almost in Bollywood, especially where it's just like biopic after biopic. There's like Saina Nehwal biopics. There's the Milka Singh biopic came out. Dhoni, Sachin... all big people, Mary Com, all these big people got their biopics, and there are other biopics that will
get made. Biopics are sort of easy because there is always some person's story that you can tell. You can always go read it like, oh, that's interesting.
It's like because they're innately, most of them are like inspiring.
Yeah.
There's rarely biopics that are not inspiring in some way. at least in India, there's the problem of, oh, someone will like get offended because of what we say about this real person.
Hmm.
Like these relatives, so distant relatives also are like, huh, how can you dare, how dare you to say this?
Yeah.
So like one of the movies we're going to be talking about, they change the names and all that in a very fucking weird way. Kind of funny.
Which one?
Yeah. Talaivi.
Oh, they change the name? No.
Yeah, MGR becomes MJR. Remember?
Oh.
I hope that when they are making biopics, it should be from a point of complete freedom than like, oh, so many restrictions and all that.
What are some of your favorite biopics?
Oh.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, we said Steve Jobs, Social Network.
Hey, like your absolute favorite biopic. I guess Schindler's List. That's pretty like, ah, oh, god damn it.
Hmm.
Captain Phillips. I really like Captain Phillips.
I like the Sachin biopic, honestly. I think it's a pretty interesting biopic because it's also like a docudrama-esque thing, which is pretty cool.
Oh.
There are a lot of good biopics and they're pretty interesting. And let's talk about the first one, the one that came out very recently.
Oh, recently? What, a week back?
Yeah, it's Talaivi, starring Kangana Ranaut, Arvind Swamy, Samudhyakarni, Nazar, Madhu, Bhagyashri.
Yeah.
And a lot of other big people. And it's about Jayalalitha. That's...
Yeah, basically how she became the politician she is today.
Yeah, how... I mean, she was.
Jesus.
Yeah, basically, it's story starts from how she was an actress when she was 16, and it ends when she becomes the CM of Tamil Nadu, and that's more, and how it happens and her relationship with MGR and all that is the main story.
Yeah.
And what did you think about it?
Oh, I was okay on it, not because of the person.
I think disclaimer, we don't...
disclaimer, I mean, we have no political opinions that hate or endanger either side.
We don't like it because it favors our political opinion, or we don't hate it because it doesn't or anything like that.
Yes.
Not the actress and the film itself. It's weird that we have to say this shit. Anyways.
I am okay with it. I didn't love it and I didn't absolutely hate it.
Mm.
It's mostly because... I went in expecting a sort of melodramatic masala movie, and that's sort of what I got, and nothing more than that, really. And the story itself, that it said, while it was interesting, the points or rather things that it chose to focus on and the way it showed it, I was sort of like, okay, that's cool. There are some really good scenes in the movie.
Mm.
And particularly when I'm talking about positives, maybe it's because I'm just a victim to sentimentality, but that whole segment where she finds out the kids aren't getting actual good food to eat, besides the starting where the kids were like, oh, just close your eyes. Besides that, when she actually starts feeding them and you see how she got the moniker of Amma, and how she sits down and eats with them, and MJR also sits down and eats with them. That was very wholesome and nice and cute. I also think another part of the movie that I particularly liked a lot was Arvind Swamy and Kangana Ranaut. I think their performances were really good. They sort of carried the movie for me. Honestly, I like Arvind Swamy's performance way more because it felt more performative, whereas in Kangana's case, it didn't particularly feel like she was this person. I don't know how to describe my issue with it particularly. It's not that she acted bad. She acted very well. It was never like I was never convinced and all. I was never unconvinced.
I have a little more of a positive take on the movie. I think I like it. I don't think it's like great, anything close to like damn amazing or anything.
But
I really enjoyed the movie for what it was. I think from the beginning, the masala movie of ness of the movie is pretty cool. I feel like, also a disclaimer, because I like political films in general, so I'm a little more positive about them. So here also I liked them. I liked how all these big leaders, what they were doing and how these small things happened and all that. That was pretty interesting. And from the very beginning, it's so overdramatic. And like, I really like how it starts with the that big... basically, she got insulted in the... What do you call that? Lok Sabha or Rajya Sabha, one of them. And she promises that she will never enter it before without becoming a CM. And she says like, you know, there's another name to Mahabharata. It's Jaya. And Mush like, Jay, fucking Talevi.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. And I was like, this, I feel like the trailer sort of tried to make it look more, it's more like a film like Mahanati almost than what this is, which is much more masala than like, like realistic and all that. As soon as I got that, I was in for it. I think there are things that I don't like, which we'll get to, but I really enjoyed for mostly. I liked Arvind Swamy's performance more than Kangana for sure.
Yeah.
For me, I don't think I felt like I had the opposite thing of I felt Kangana felt more like performance, and Arvind Swamy sort of obviously he put a lot of effort into it, but it came across much more naturally effortless than Kangana's performance.
I guess Kangana's that's one way to say it. I don't know how to express it properly, but I guess that. I don't know. Something didn't just sit with me. That's all. And it's definitely not because she was unconvincing, like I said.
I think, and also I feel like Arvind Swamy's look extremely close to MJR's look. Like, I think they did a
excellent job on that.
Yeah, on the prosthetics and all the little prosthetics they used. They really did a great job. And they didn't do a good job on Kangana's prosthetics for some reason. It's just kind of sad. I feel like maybe it's because he already fit into that body type, so they could manage it. And here they had to add in a lot more things to make her look fat and all those things.
Yeah, her like end look just looks like they just taped some clay to her face.
Yeah, exactly. That doesn't look good at all.
Yeah. Coming back to positives, some other things I liked about the movie. The story what they actually tried to tell of how she didn't even want to be an actress and she became this person and how it all ended up with her becoming CM. That's pretty interesting, actually. Very interesting. Including that whole, we were talking about this, how Arvind Swamy and Karunanidhi, they started out together and how their whole friendship and collaboration dissolved into different parties. And that was all very interesting, actually, to see. Oh, obviously, like this very heightened masala version of it. But at the base of it, that's still pretty interesting. Leaving aside the fact that this is not going to take a gray look at it or whatever. You know from the start it's going to be this like victory ride, right?
It shows her more or less as a flawless person then.
It shows her more or less...
most of her positive
things. Yeah, it's sort of a celebration of her.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's what they were talking about in the promotions as well. It's more of a celebration of her. This is fair, I guess.
Yeah, it's not unfair. Obviously, the alternative is more interesting, but it's not such a crime to celebrate someone.
Yeah.
Yeah, and obviously, this is a very noteworthy person, right?
And it doesn't really come across that fake or like whitewashy as like some of the critics have been telling. It's like they went with the angle of like, as a woman, she had to struggle in the man's world and all that. And it never came, for me at least, it never came across as fake because she was doing that in like fucking 40, 30 years ago when it was way more like men's world than now.
Yeah.
I think now it comes across way more like, it's a we are making political statement. Then it feels like the reality of the times, sort of.
Yeah, it definitely was.
I felt like she was genuinely a great woman.
At no point in the film did I think this thing was trying to get points for being feministy or woke.
Exactly. I really was like, happy to see that.
I mean, it manages to show that she did struggle and to like fight tooth and nail to get where she is. Mm. How even at the end, people still go like, ah, she's a woman. She never really loses that, and she constantly has to fight for it.
Yeah. And not just the gender thing, they also show how the there's the South Indian, North Indian, like, bias, where, like, in India, we have that bias, where North India is supposed to be the cool part, and South India is the low, like, they're the poor people, or shit like that.
Yeah, the classism. Back then,
yeah, that is there. And how they tackle that, in not like it that was its main focus, but in the few scenes that they do, I was like, well, I liked it, mainly in the scene where she goes to Delhi and she speaks like really good English in the North Indian.
I didn't know South Indians can speak in good English. She goes like, I didn't know North Indians could understand. I like that.
Yeah, I like that. I was like, yeah, fuck you.
Yeah, I was like,
she genuinely comes across like a very confident person.
Hmm. Yeah, she yeah. definitely was. Holy shit!
Yeah,
all this
like
stuff
even like not and like in the film, not just when she becomes that, even like when she is like a 16-year-old and all that, she had that like stubbornness, like of like, oh, the MGR is coming, stand up and all, and she's like, no, why should I?
Yeah,
if I feel like it, I'll stand up and all that, and how she goes and like in the next day when her mom makes like this big fuss about it, she just goes and like says like, oh, namaste namaste to the dog and all that to fuck with them. Pretty interesting. I feel like they were they planted the whole like she will do things to get what she wants thing nicely. She's not someone who will bend down for someone to help her, to help her case.
She definitely has that ego.
Yeah, exactly. Even in the scene when like the entire movie, also the main the other big arc sort of that happens is with the RMV. Yeah, Samudra Karni's character, where he's the protector of MGR and he doesn't want anyone to fuck with his name and his and all that. He basically, in one of the scenes when she's shooting with him, he takes her chair off so that she can't sit or something.
Yeah.
She has to be standing.
And she just like falls.
She takes Arvind's MGR seat, which is also like, for me, it was like, oh, she's taking her position type thing. It felt like a echo for the future in a way.
Hmm.
It's kind of cool.
I guess, yeah.
The cunning nature of her was sort of shown from the beginning.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
I like. Okay. I think that's the extent to which they could go in this film, at least to make her look a little more less noble, I guess. Because otherwise, most of the film is she is noble.
Yeah.
I also felt like she had that selfishness in a way, where both MGR and she both liked each other clearly.
Hmm.
Even though MGR's like logical side of a leader and all is tells him to obviously not continue on this relationship that they have.
Yeah.
But he's always forced to come back in a way, which was interesting. I think that's what mostly made the first half interesting. Which after the entire movie for me is also like their relationship was very interesting, and which after his death sort of makes the movie a little weaker for me, which we'll get into. I like the beginning, how he sort of comforts her in like, because she was like a 16-year-old.
Yeah, and she didn't want to hug a guy.
Yeah, hug a guy like twice or thrice his age, some shit like that. And
yeah,
she, and how he's like, ah, oh, just think of me as your mother. And
that
like
was that, really cute. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That they didn't make their relationship like sexual. That's a better choice for me, where like their relationship never came across like, yeah, they just wanted to fuck, and like, you know, he found her extremely hot or something. She had that like parental feeling towards him, and she was all genuinely inspired by him and what his goals were and all that. Yeah, even when she becomes the leader, it feels like she is inspired from him, which is nice.
Yeah, like one of the best sort of parts of the movie, again, was when, you know, he sees her in the, like, this is much after their split. She gives that dance where they've all met up. And he goes into the back room, and you know what I would have done if I was not there. And he sort of pushes into her, and you think like, oh my God, is he going to kiss her or something? What the? And then he just sort of whistles in front of her like, oh my God, that was so great. Which is very wholesome. Cute. Yeah, it's cute. And their relationship is, it feels like true companionship instead of being a sort of high and dry, burnt out romance. It feels sort of like, yeah, they did love each other quite a lot. But given the circumstances and all that, they sort of kept within their limits, and they sort of took pleasure in the companionship they did have, the friendship that they could share. It was nice.
And even when he's forced to leave her because it's clearly not a good image for him as a politician, it feels kind of sad, and like how he goes, like he takes her so like to this distant place so that no one will. No, and then he sort of breaks up, I guess.
Yeah.
With her, and then like the scene in the aeroplane. I really like the line when she's like, "If you don't want to talk when others are there, I don't want to talk when no one's there." Pretty nice. I think I like that the movie's interval also sort of, I mean, served a purpose where most intervals when they again pick up the story exactly from there. But here they cleverly did like a proper time jump between the intervals, and like at the interval they're in that flight, and their relationship is properly cut off and all that. And then when we see, we start the movie again in the second half, it's like, oh, he's been CM twice now.
Yeah.
And all that, which was pretty, I was like very happy with that choice. And the time jumps never feel, they were constant from throughout the film. And they were like, black screen, date, next, this is this point. Yeah. And I like that. And like the second half becomes mostly about the politics, which I was like, very cool, man. I like how she gets into the party firstly. She was never into like politics and whatever. And when she's, you described this dance scene and all that. And MJR tells her like, maybe you should come into politics or whatever, and she's like, no, I don't like it. And it's that's the thing about like the masala movie thing, right? As it's always like, when there is something like that mentioned, you know the next scene is gonna be where she changes.
Yeah,
it's like he says, please become politician, she's like, no. And the very next scene, she's going and like some poor people, like some poor kids come, and I used to describe the whole amma thing, and like she, the poor kid comes and like, I don't have food, I can't go to school, the food is not good and all that.
Yeah.
And I really like how like she uses the food thing, she could have just like, the boring way would be like a call up MGR, and he comes with his battalion, they fix the issue. But she takes the food she has, like they serve, puts it on his plate, and he's like, maybe she got some,
she's gonna
good
get
food.
Something nice. No, she gives like the curd rice, like, oh, here, like, oh, here.
How can anyone eat this? And she's like, yeah, this is what your scheme is doing, and all that.
Yeah,
and that was pretty nice. The other angle that the movie constantly has is the RMV and versus Jayalalitha thing, where he's trying to protect MGR from anything, and they're always trying to one up each other.
Yeah.
And this whole like fucking vada thing.
Oh yeah.
What are you doing? Like, oh.
She sends it to him. That was really nice. Yeah.
The vada has an arc where first it's like, it's such a mass movie, masala movie thing where it's not just like mentioned for no reason. You know, this payback to it. And like, first she's like, just use it as like some small insult. Then he brings it back and he's like, go where, make vadas. And by the end, when she gets cast with him again in a double role or whatever, and she sends it to him as a gift, which is pretty nice. In the second half, RMV is constantly trying to put her in a bad spot, and she somehow always wins over it. And like, even the Delhi thing was like, so that she will obviously lose, and like, she'll come back to her, like, he'll become straight or whatever, but she somehow like wins all that also. And like by the end, when after MJR's death and all that, and when she gets like insulted in the in that Lok Sabha, and RMB coming back to her was a nice moment, and I really like that entire trajectory. Even though at points I did feel like it was repetitive as fuck in the first half, like I do this, she gets over. I do this, she always wins and all that. But I really like how by the end they work together. I feel like the other thing the movie does really well is show like these politicians as not exactly bad people per se. They feel more like people who started off with
good intentions.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing with most politicians, where they start off with good intentions. They're like, we are not gonna be people like these leaders, man. We have a philosophy and we will do it. And like as they get actually big with this philosophy thing, the philosophy itself becomes the backs. It goes behind their mind, and how running the party and keeping all of this together becomes the main thing. And that's what splits like Karunanidhi and MJR. And that's what even makes them into bad leaders per se, more corrupt and all that. And that's what leads to their demise and all.
Yeah.
Which is also in Jayalalitha's arc.
Yeah.
I like how they do the MJR death, I guess.
Okay.
No, as in like, I didn't think that really happened, which is insane to me.
Yeah.
Like the whole like pushing her in the funeral and all that.
Oh, that? And, no, not, that's, oh, okay, you mean that? Yeah, that was...
Oh, funeral. I was not talking about his death. Oh, like her getting ready and
yeah,
all that.
Yeah, that shit.
That was like, it's okay.
Yeah, I was like, okay, come on, man.
I'm pretty sure that didn't happen. Yeah. And like, but I like that like funeral part, and I was like sick. It's not a Vada Chennai reference, but like I remember that from Vada Chennai, where
Everything's a Vada Chennai reference, huh?
No, I have point to it.
Okay.
It's basically in Vada Chennai, the Rajan's character, he's like like the other people are like who might become the next CM or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he goes like, yeah, Jayalalitha will become the next CM, because in this funeral, she was with him.
Mm-hmm.
She was right behind him. So that sort of, that image made her the thing. So I think they like the other leaders did a mistake by having her there.
Uh-huh.
They sort of pushed her to that point, and that's why she will forever be in the MJR funeral photos and all that, like standing right next to him.
Yeah,
like almost showing like she's the next leader and all that. That's all.
Okay.
Yeah, I was like,
bro. Okay, scene composition. Yeah. What a Chennai reference.
The MGS death sort of is where most of my positives end.
Yeah,
let's get into the negatives.
It's very meh for all its highs and like bravado. I left the theater feeling like, okay, that was all right. I didn't hate it and I didn't really love it either. I was like, there were some good moments in it. None of it really added up to anything particularly powerful in any way for me.
Mm-hmm.
The other two biopics we'll be talking about, they fulfilled themselves thematically in a way. Just sort of felt like, okay, this happened, that happened, and that's it. There was no concrete end. Felt like they ended the film there because no other reason other than the script just ended there, and that's why. There was no strong end to it. That was one negative. Another negative is, for a lot of the movie... Now, this has to do with the fact that this is sort of a masala movie in and of itself.
Mm.
It was fucking predictable as balls.
It's a masala movie, and it's also about a story that
everyone already knows.
Exactly.
For me, a lot of the scenes felt so disconnected from any big picture.
Mm.
Like I was talking about the ending, right?
Mm.
A lot of the scenes just felt like their own little scenes and their own little story, and it never really... added up to anything in the end, nor did it mean anything big whenever it was happening. It felt very disconnected.
I think that's also because it's constantly jumping time.
Time jump is one thing, but to not have any like concrete tissue between each time jump is something else entirely. Because every time I did feel
like one of the problems for me, other than like the ending portions, is also because I felt like the movie doesn't spend some could have spent more time on some of these moments. Like it sort of like, especially when MJR, the whole like MJR death funeral and she gets pushed down and all that, it goes from that to again she's again rallying for him and very quickly it goes from like, oh, like she challenges RMV saying like, ah, you guys will need me, and she calls him and she's already there. All of these feel too quick. I felt like they needed a little more breathing space, I guess. That would have made it a little better. The other big problem for me is when, as soon as MJR dies, you really feel the lack of like other things in Jayalalitha's life. Like they haven't really developed the other things in Jayalalitha's life properly. So as soon as he's gone, there's not a lot left for her. And so it becomes like you're just waiting for her to become CM at that point. Even though they sort of manage it without having too many scenes from then, it's mostly just like this one big montagey song. It still I still felt like the problem was that she didn't have other relationships, or properly established relationships other than MJR. Maybe they could have established the Shashikala relationship, which is like a big deal. Or maybe they could have established the mother. No, even though the mother passed away, I guess, yeah. Maybe there needed to be something else, maybe.
Okay, yeah.
Because also, like, after MJR dies and after the whole... We cut back immediately to this, like, how they are arresting their leaders and all that. And then we have the RMB arc also finished and they're together. Then you genuinely don't have anything else left for her other than to just like wait for her to become the CM.
Okay, yeah, that's actually a good point. And
even though it's not the majority of the film, so I was still like, that's why I still don't hate it or anything like that. I like it because it's not the majority of the film.
Yeah.
Only the majority of the film did work. I had a lot of fun. And I don't know other negatives. I think this is not a negative to this is not a critique on the film, but I wish the movie was more about her later years as well. Maybe talks of it being a sequel. If they do it, I'm happy, but that can't be my critique against the film.
The ending was, I didn't like the ending at all. It just ends on this like note of I am mother, you are now all will have to look up to me, and it just sort of peters out from there.
For me, I didn't mind the ending itself that much because I felt like it showed the like from how what she began as and by what she ended up. I was like, yeah, this felt nice. Like
for me, I remember when she won the 200 seats, right? Everyone was like, oh yeah, fuck yeah, oh let's go. And I was like, okay, this is the end of the film. Everyone's cheering, she got it. But then after that, it's like, ah, she's moving into this office and everyone outside, literally outside the door, like, we need to keep the woman down. And then, no, we'll just deflate it for 5 minutes with this scene that adds nothing new.
I don't think it deflated for me. For me, I felt like it was, if they do make a second film, I felt like it was set up almost for that than like, I think maybe the point they ended itself is kind of bad.
Yeah. That's what I mean.
The scene being bad. I feel like even I had that like, oh, the movie is done, I guess, type thing where,
yeah, exactly.
I felt like it was going to lead to something else for one scene and that's when the movie ends. But it doesn't really lead to anything and it just cuts to, I was like, I guess that I didn't feel like it deflated it for me, but it still was like, maybe I was Maybe it's just like a sequel bait type ending.
Probably, yeah. But besides that,
I am interested to watch this as a sequel to this. I think I enjoyed what I saw here, so yeah. And the next movie we're gonna be talking about is the
Mahanati. Yes.
Yeah, it's Mahanati from 2018. It's directed by Naga Ashwin and starring Keerthi Suresh, Samantha, Vijay Devarkonda, Dulquer Salman, Naresh, Shalini Pandey, and a lot of other interesting cameos.
Isn't this like Telugu cinema's big like ensemble?
Yeah, it is a good ensemble in a way, yeah.
Like for Telugu cinema?
Yeah. They're not super huge or anything, but all of them are big enough anyways. And and it's about the old actress Savitri's life, about her life and how she became an actress from her childhood, how she had how she learned dancing to that to drama to that to films. And that to her relationship with Jemini Ganeshan and how all of that went about and how she, by then she lost everything and the kind of sad ending and all that. And it's told in this, the perspective of these journalists who are writing a story about her.
Yeah.
And that's the film. And what did you think about it?
Oh, I loved it a lot. Mm-hmm. I think it's my favorite out of all three.
Mm.
It's even though like I don't think I'll ever like rewatch it or anything, but this this is very much like it's gonna feel like a weird comparison, but I'm just talking about film quality. The Sky is Pink. Basically, both these films are great. I love both of them. They're really good. I had not many problems watching both of them, but that's pretty much it. They were really great. For this, I think. I liked a lot of this movie. I don't have too many criticisms to make of this particularly. Like, the performances were great. They were so good, all of them. There was no particular, like, weak link.
Yeah, I think, like, Keerthi Suresh really did an amazing job. Like, I think it was genuinely surprising for everyone who saw her for the previous films because she was fairly, like, cutesy, like... quirky type actress and whatever. And when like the posters came and all, like people had a lot of doubts.
Oh, because, seriously?
Like, yeah. I was like, I don't think she will be great.
Oh wow, she was really great in this.
Yeah, exactly. Even though she looks the part, I felt like maybe she won't do a good job. But I was like proper surprised how good she was. She was amazing in this film. There was not a single scene where I was like, looks a little unconvincing.
Yeah, she was really great. And what really helped this, all the performances across the board was like, the director was...
Nagashwin.
Yeah, holy shit. There was so many great choices made that comes down to the editing, the style, the music that they chose to go with, the way the camera moves. The set design is really good. Like
there's a lot of attention to detail.
Yeah.
Like to set up the retro, like the 60s or whatever this era it was set in. Like the old advertisements.
Yeah.
It all looked really good.
Here, some of the like neat details are like was particularly at the start when she has this like forbidden romance with Jemini Ganeshan, right? And there's this very nice intricate, even at the start, like the start where she's like a little girl, she's going to the stage, and then when it cuts, it's like she's grown and she's acting. Very, very neat time jump. And then when she's like the romance of Jemini Ganeshan and she's trying to act on screen, and she turns to see a door and immediately cuts to her on set in the film. And that's a really, really clever visual way of showing that she was sort of putting her real life experiences into her performances. The film alludes to it later on, where I think Samantha or Shalini's character, where they go like, she gave every bit of her life into each of these performances. Very nice, very clever.
I think that's one of the things I really like, because her story part was always intercut between the movie segments, and the segments itself never felt like, oh, they're just showing, they recreated it. It always fits the tone in a weird way.
Yeah.
When, like, as you were mentioning, like, there was this one scene where, I think that's when she, like, Rajendra Prasad's character, her father basically disowns her and because she married him or something like that. And then they cut to the Devdas scene where she's crying and, like, when the guy she's doing a really good job and all that. That was, like, there are a lot of these moments where what's happening in her real life sort of weirdly helped her in her performance, which is
which was great. And it's a very neat way to show it too.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, in the editing.
The recreations themselves were like
so
very
good.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
And I loved the cameos in this film. I think it's one
of
the...
I don't know cameos.
Oh, okay. I will explain what cameos happened. All the directors that played are all like present generation directors. If you notice, there is Arjun Reddy director. There is... Arjun Reddy director is the Devdas director. There is Tarun Bhaskar playing the AD.
I didn't know any of this.
Yeah, like the...
I noticed that like both Shalini Pandey and Vijay Devarkonda were in this, and I knew like from like the most basic view that a lot of these are like really big hits, big names in Telugu cinema. So I was like, oh, it's a big gathering. Whoa.
Like the first scene where she has to cry or something.
And she goes like, I will do it with two tears.
That scene. In that scene, the assistant director is played by Tarun Bhaskar. And the main director is played by Krish, who's also this Telugu director. There was this one.
Where was the Arjun Reddy director, bro?
Arjun Reddy director was in the Devdas part.
Holy shit. I feel bad I missed him.
There's Arjun Reddy's like director playing the Devdas thing, which I was like, oh, Arjun Reddy in a way is also Devdas. And
yeah, because he's clever. Also like drunk and shit.
Yeah, exactly. This is like clever. And ANR's character being played by Naga Chaitanya, who was his grandson, was pretty nice. They wanted to even get like NTR to, junior NTR to play the senior, like the old NTR's character, but I guess he couldn't make it.
Wow, that's really cool. Holy shit.
Yeah, so they couldn't get him. I think there's some other director. Yeah, Srinivas Avasarala was also
don't know.
All these directors are... It also is not just like, they're random directors. Their films feel like the directors that they are playing in a way. Where Srinivas Avasarala and all these people like... Yeah, and I really like that. That was like one of those like wholesome things almost.
Another choice that I really liked was that since Devarkonda and Samantha's character were in the 70s.
The camera,
Visually, it looks like an old like 70s film.
Yeah, and they used like very...
Yeah.
Blurry, I don't know what camera, like cinema, like not even cinema, I don't know what type of camera it is, but it looks very almost documentary.
It looks really rough around the edges. Yeah. That's really good.
And I like that whenever they cut to the main part, it's like proper, nicely shot film.
Yeah.
So the contrast of it felt nice.
Yeah. By far, I think my favorite sort of story choice, two of them, is that one. Besides the starting, is that throughout the movie you never see Savitri in her current state in the film.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is great, because the movie is very much, even Samantha herself says, I don't want to remember you like this. I want to remember you as the magnanimous person you were. Very clever visual choice, because this is the image we have of her in her golden years. Even when she was getting drunk and burning down, she was still very much the...
glorious figure in a way.
Yeah, the glorious figure who tried to help out in any which way she can. And that's very good choice.
And it's a good choice, not just because... it's a good choice like that. And it's also a good choice because it is way more... almost like celebratory that way. And it's not trying to sensationalize how... she's a weak person. The close-ups of all get like you get like some sentiment out of it.
And another thing I liked was that the structure of this movie, which is that Devarkonda and Samantha are sort of piecing together her life, piecing together this great person, is also sort of key to celebrating her life. Because one of the big parts of her character in the movie is that she is sort of this person who helps everyone, tries to help and tries to benefit everybody as much as she can, you know. And the fact that after all these years, even when she is in a coma, she has helped out Samantha and Devarkonda in their love life, inspired them, it serves to hit home how great of a figure she was. These two things especially work with the finale where Samantha goes, Samantha gives a speech, right? About how you are a magnanimous figure and how your films will be watched for generations to come and all that. These two choices really help hammer that fact home even after you're done watching the film.
Yeah, which is really good. I liked it also because in a way, like it's her discover, like it's Samantha and Vijay Devarkonda's characters discovering about an older star, and the film itself is on like on a meta level, it's about like Nagashwin trying to show that to an him discovering about her, this actress, and showing it to a new generation, which is us, and it's pretty nice in that way.
The directing choices made in this movie are fucking fantastic. Like, you know that I fucking love that scene where the house is on fire and he just wants to
save the alcohol and all.
So many good scenes in this movie. And this is probably me reading too into this film. The energy of the film is like quirky and light and free-spirited, right? Which is very much who she was as a person, I think, as this film shows. That's really great. I don't know, again, if I'm reading too into this, if this is the director's style and it just so happens.
I don't think it is.
It's such a smart way to sort of hammer this home again.
Yeah, to make it feel like it's her story, it's her world in a way.
Yeah, that's really great.
I think this and Dirty Books are both have that like, oh, we will show the film. The film itself has like an older aesthetic in a way. The films of that era are sort of how the entire movie is. Like it never, there are rarely scenes that feel modern in a way. The only scene I could think of that looks pretty modern is maybe the scene where she discovers that Dulquer Salman is cheating on her. And there's like that one take following her. Even though I like the shot, that's the only time when I was like, oh, this is a new like thing.
Oh, like the handheld one take follow thing.
Otherwise, the entire film...
feels very classical.
Yeah, exactly. It's all like hand... Not, it's never handheld. It's always steady. It's like always... fixed to the ground.
Yeah, that's all. Oh my god, that's also really great. When she finally gets to the liquor, the camera sort of moves up over her, so she's framed upside down.
Yeah, pretty nice.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe am I like overrating things? No,
I think
right?
These are really good choices, honestly.
When I was done with the movie, I was like, damn, this director is pretty great. Holy shit!
This I think I am reading into it because I like that in the beginning whenever they. Even show her in her in the coma or whatever, and like if she's behind the curtains, and like there's this musical cue that's from the song Mooga Manasulu, which comes in later on in the film, and Mooga Manasulu, which means like muted hearts or whatever, and I was like, oh, she's also like currently mute. I was like,
that probably is intentional. I mean, like the lyrics sort of line up with it, right?
It doesn't say the lyrics. It's just the hook, the initial, like, ooh, I don't know how to describe it. It's such a nice choice. It feels like very, like, the song opening itself feels very out of the world, fairy type thing. And that going with her, like, she's almost like this fairy type. I like that choice a lot. And I think Dulquer Salman was excellent. I feel I think anyone other than him would have made him much more unlikable. And like, it would be hard for us to understand why she's into him. But he plays like this asshole dick person very sweetly, like very charmingly.
Yeah.
You see, like the way he manipulates her and convinces her, like, oh yeah, I had a relationship, but I always loved you. You know, I had this girl, but I always loved you. Even when she gets caught cheating, he's like, this is different, but the only person I loved is you. And all that is pretty nice. And when she starts becoming more popular and all that, and he gets like, oh, jealous and all that. He did a really
Like that part where he gets jealous, because he tries his very hardest to sort of rub that away and realize that he should be happy.
Exactly. He constantly tries to be like, yeah, it's you. It's my girl. It's my wife.
Yeah, of course, if she's successful, it's a good thing for me. But
within him, it's constantly, you feel that like it is
inferiority. Yeah,
exactly. That inferiority complex is clearly there. And casting him was good on this part. And it's also good that his Telugu itself doesn't seem proper Telugu, because he's obviously a Malayali guy. And in the film also, he plays someone who's a Tamilian, whose Telugu sounds a little odd.
Yeah.
And they made him dub his own lines, which it felt authentic to his character. Hmm. It was a really nice choice.
Did I mention the music? It was really great.
Yeah, the songs in this are pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean, they were translated like fuck terribly in the Amazon subtitles.
Yeah,
like,
probably.
The Mahanati thing, right? That was an actress par excellence.
Rhyme or something it said.
It came up with different subtitles for each time they said Mahanati. I didn't know Mahanati meant so many different things at once.
Mahanati literally means great actress.
That's it, right? It's like an actress par excellence. A woman of valor. Some shit. I was like, damn.
The subtitle artist was trying to become
he got that paycheck.
Yeah. For me, the sense of humor was at points like on the nosey, but even
I appreciated that actually.
I still liked it though. I liked the it was consistent throughout the movie. So it's
this is like my ideal quirky movie.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever this movie cracked like that joke or like the characters were acting silly or all that, it felt true to the spirit of the film itself. It didn't feel so disconnected and separate. It felt true to Savitri as a character. Mm. You know? It felt very honest to what the film is supposed to be, what the film is trying to say, what the film is trying to make you feel and show of this person.
Yeah.
So, all the humor choices, it felt exactly in world with whenever tragedy happened in this movie. Like, when her uncle takes a revolver, he's like, I will fucking shoot him if he comes.
Mm.
That didn't seem out of the world at all. It seemed very plausible within this film.
Yeah, and like, for me, even the one of the jokes that I liked, which didn't have all that background music, was when the first time she's seeing herself on screen and she's pointing like, it's me.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
she's
yeah.
Like the next, it's me. That's sweet and funny. There's a lot of wholesome things in the.
She is such a wholesome person in and of itself. In general, yeah.
It's very like sad. Truly like inspiring person.
Yeah.
And like the whole like, oh, she was like this big fan of Nageshwar Rao. Like A&R,
and she keeps
like,
saying his name when she's trying to like audition.
Yeah. And then like when she gets to act with him, it was pretty nice.
Yeah.
I love how the movie looks. We already kind of talked about it. I think like cinematography is pretty amazing. Like the recreation scenes especially like are fucking so well done. And even the normal scenes are like shot very interestingly. And it always fit there. They light it in interesting ways. And like I really like that... In that Mahanati song, there's this point where she's like laughing and like this some foreign guy takes a photo. That shot looks really nice. And like the opening with the spot, like the first time we see her, it's like the spotlights are on and all her on her. Pretty nice choice. The talking about the recreation scenes, I really like the there's a lot of noise in the sound. in the texture and all that, making it feel more authentic. It
legit sounds like they just got the actual film's audio and just put it here. They just ripped it and put it here on the timeline.
Yeah. Pretty intentionally nice choices, authentic choices.
Yeah,
I like that. Like the line when after she has the whole like marriage and she's almost ready to quit the acting and all that, and when Parkasas comes and he's like, "No, you need to come. Like you like films. You
gave
got
this
films
to you.
When you now films need you. You need to act for the film, like to, for the greatness of cinema and all that." Like,
yeah,
it's pretty nice. I like the whole like Dulquer Salman's relationship with her.
Yeah.
Very classic toxic relationship.
Yeah, like, oh my god, I'm married, I know, but like you're the real love of my life. How can I ever, like, oh my god, her.
And she seems like she's
very like, naive.
Yeah, naive and idealist to her fault.
Mm-hmm.
Through that's there throughout where she clearly believed in his very big red flaggy type case and she went for it. She fought for everyone. And that stubbornness is there from her childhood and that's sort of what leads her into her downfall in a way.
Hmm.
Where she, even when she needed help, she didn't ask for anyone. And she just kept making bigger and bigger in terms of money, financial decisions. She's just like, yeah, I will sell this. We'll sell this. I will do all this, but never actually like asked for help from anyone. Yeah.
I noticed this thing about her character. Basically, she's. I feel like in the end, the reason she burns down so bad when she finds out that Dulquer has cheated on her is not because like, oh, the love of my life has cheated on me. That's definitely an aspect. But throughout the film, you see this cycle of. She, at least her character, feels like she's being abandoned. Her father left her before she could even see him. In the end, that's what she really wants. She just wants to see her father. Her uncle, who, you know, her uncle tells, like, you can call me father. She's so happy, like, positively ecstatic when she can go, like, yeah, that's my father. That's my nana, right? And then when she goes, when he feels like she's betrayed her and he just kicks her out, she's devastated by it, but she's not too devastated because she gets Dulquer Salman. And in the end, when she finds out that he's cheated on her, it's legit like she can never have a father in a way. Someone to take care of her. It feels like she's always being abandoned for some reason. And that's why she burns down so bad. Like writing wise, it's kind of fucked up part of character.
Yeah, and like the fact that she goes against so many people just blindly believing in him, and when she all like she was ready to quit, leave everything she has ever had and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, she even said like, just take my earnings, I don't even want it.
And when he goes and does that, and it's fucking annoying.
Yeah.
Bitch, Jiminy Ganesh.
Jiminy Ganesh and bitch made motherfucker. both this and Dirty Picture. Again, I'm not reading too into it, I guess, because like they carve out a very nice thick character out of the legends they're supposed to put portray, which is always, I think, one of the biggest objectives of a biopic is to show what this personality was or like how this personality could have come about.
Yeah.
What could have inspired this in them? Show like the humanity underneath it, because if it's a biopic and all you're doing is just telling like, oh, 1945, she did this. Oh my God, that's... Well, there's no point to it.
Even like Samantha, like when then she says like, after writing the story, I thought like, it's a boring story. I'll just talk about how she was a great actress.
But, yeah.
Underneath, like beyond her screen, she's a great person outside the thing and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty nice.
Yeah.
Which is what the film is also about. Like, I love the Mahanati, like the title song is...
Hype banger, let's go.
Yeah, and the song itself is great, and they accomplish so many things in that one montage song. Like they have like the they show how rich she has become.
Yeah,
like how like it's like never seen never before seen type thing. How good of an actress she became, how popular she became, how people were waiting for her dates. Like all these big stars were also like had to wait for her dates. How she had this helping nature. She's like, throughout the song, she's like helping someone or the other without thinking about it in any way. She's like, yeah, this is my jewelry, I'll give it to the army, to some relative and all that. And she is, you even see the like that like small bit where there's this the racing thing where it's like, you woman, what are you gonna do? And she's like, and I like the line when she's like, I won't drive too fast. Yeah. After that Mahanati song, that's when that's the highest peak of her life.
Mm-hmm.
And from then, right after, we see her downfall.
Yeah.
Which is, again, good choices. Where we see the first time, like, he's getting jealous of her success. He's Jiminy Ganesan himself is sort of down in the dumps in terms of his career. He gets insulted in that, I forgot what it was, in that like parade thing. She's also at fault at points where she's so stubborn and all that. And even though Jiminy Ganesan tells her that, no, this movie won't work and don't remake it here again, she's like, no, I want to do it. And after the big breakup and like she catches him, the only reason she makes the movie is also because she says like a fuck you to him.
Yeah.
I will do it. And the first time she drinks, it's also kind of sad and fucked up. And he's like, oh, you'll share my pain. Oh, fucking piece of shit. And then she slowly becoming an alcoholic is pretty sad to watch.
Yeah, it is.
Like the scene itself when she catches him cheating, like her anger seems so raw.
It feels very real.
Exactly, yeah. She's not doing the cliche like, fuck you. It feels like this, like she's just like screaming. She doesn't know what to do. It's like fucking slapping the girl, slapping him. It's like in the rain, pushing him away. And that's when she first time properly drinks. Nothing went well. Like she becomes like a terrible mother. That scene when she's her son is sleeping with her grandmother or something, and she's like, give it to him.
Yeah, I want him, he's my son, bro.
And then like when he's like, I want to sleep, and she's just like, even my son doesn't need me or something. It's pretty sad.
Genuinely feels like she just wanted like family or like companion. I don't know what, but
She wanted someone to be with consistently with her.
It feels like throughout her life, she was always left alone in some way.
Yeah.
No matter how kind she was, no matter how magnanimous she was and
like
how
helpful she was.
Yeah, it always felt like she was alone.
Yeah.
No one came to her when she needed her most.
And by then, the whole, like, her inspiring Samantha and all that, that felt way more feministy than anything in other films whenever they try to do the...
Oh yeah, all three of these films, pretty great female empowerment
for
films.
Me, this was the best because it never sings like, look at this and all that. Like when she's... It genuinely is like... Samantha is just inspired from her.
Yeah.
As she's discovering the story and she just becomes more confident and all that. And I really like that. And all the choices. It's just fucking fantastic.
I don't know negatives, actually.
I honestly don't know. For me, at points, the sense of humor was a little like...
I guess you could say that.
Yeah, because there were jokes that beyond the like tone of the film, they are like played like you are hitting with the sledgehammer. Mainly most of the, I think the father's jokes are where I was like, because there are subtle jokes like the one I said, which it doesn't have music and it's just funny in itself.
Yeah.
And I don't really know other than that many negatives. Yeah, I think this is fantastic.
Yeah.
I genuinely loved the film, the sound, the music, the choices, the acting, everything.
Yeah, I feel like if you got this as a biopic, you pretty successful.
Yeah, they genuinely, they celebrated her in a phenomenal way and, they never disrespect, Yeah, even when they show the downfall, it's never, it doesn't come from the place of sensationalizing it anyway. Mm. It's very respectfully done.
Yeah.
The fantastic film. What do you give it?
No, I guess like 8 to 9.
Yeah, I'll give it a 9 out of 10.
Yeah,
go watch it if you haven't already.
Yeah. Yeah, just ignore some of the subtitles for the songs.
Yeah.
Kind of fucking terrible.
I think that's like a repetitive point in this show.
It's always, bro. It's always like me trying to watch some movie I don't understand. Subtitles will make it worse. The third movie.
Yeah, the third movie we're going to be talking about.
This, Dirty Picture.
The Dirty Picture. Yeah, it's very it's very dirty. It came out in 2011. It was directed by Milan Luthera, starring Vidya Balan, Naziruddin Shah, Imran Hashmi, Tushar Kapoor, and other people.
Yeah.
And it's the story of Silk Smita is the screen name. I forgot.
Yeah, Vijayalakshmi.
Yeah, and how it's about how she rose to fame in this.
Yeah, and it's also been inspired by Marilyn Monroe as well.
Yeah, the filmmaker says that it's not based on Smita alone. It's about other, like this Koshanti and Marilyn Monroe. Yeah, it's basically about an actress who's known for the sexy scenes and sexy songs and all that.
Yeah.
And how she became famous and how she had a downfall, and it's about her character in the end, all that. And what did you think about it?
I liked it quite a lot. I feel like this is a very interesting topic, the sort of tragic trajectory of a sex symbol, someone who's regarded purely for their skin and how like hot they are, and how it takes a toll on them, what hypocrisies it brings out in the industry as a whole, in society as a whole,
in Indian how we culture view in them general, I guess.
Yeah, in culture all over the world, I think in India particularly, because we're very repressed, but everywhere else as well, how we seem to view it with such distaste, and how we think of it as something less dignified. But then we constantly subscribe to it. We want content with it. We want media that is a little more sexualized, even though we won't come outright and say it for the most part. Yeah, that is like a fairly interesting main.
Hmm? Yeah, they constantly keep describing her as like the secret for the night that you don't want to show to real.
Yeah, like I think Nasiruddin Shah says it best. He says like your last night's fantasy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's a very interesting vein to sort of dig into narratively. It's not just narratively speaking. It's a very interesting phenomenon in general. Because one would think that, you know, you're super popular, you're super attractive and all of that. But then the simple way in which how she carried herself, or how she portrayed herself, and how she came across, and what film she did, it immediately sort of
differentiates her
from everyone else, even though there are other actresses who are just as pretty, who are just as attractive, and who are just as lusted after, simply because those other actors remained modest, remained like traditional women, so to speak, while as Silk Smita went the extra mile and showed off more skin and more sex appeal.
Yeah,
suddenly Silk Smita is regarded with such distaste, such disgust. No one likes her.
Yeah,
but everyone comes to watch her movies.
I mean, that's the thing. Even beyond films, also that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like it's the slut shaming thing, right?
Yes, exactly. Like, the shaming of a prostitute.
Exactly. If the girl's been with more than 2-3 people, then she's like a whore and all that things. And yeah, and as soon as you make those type of films, you are regarded as a different type of actress.
Yes,
it is really shown well in that scene in the horse race thing, and when everyone's like, why is she here? I don't think these people should be here.
Yeah,
out of way. very fucked up.
Yeah, yeah, it's very fucked up. And Hollywood is not really exempt from it too.
I'm sure, yeah. I think that's been the, I mean, like, even now in 2021, I think.
Yeah, that's always the case. The
dignity for, like, someone who does
sex work,
those things are not really that high. I mean, yeah, it's just, it's sad.
They're not afforded basic dignity. That's what's fucked up. You don't need to put them on a pedestal and praise them as some beacon of humanity, but they're not like really treated like normal people.
Normal people too.
Yeah.
And that's the most interesting thing about this entire
film. Yes, exactly. That's why I like this movie quite a lot. Besides this issue that it obviously takes on, it's the person behind that issue, which is Silk Smitha herself. How she becomes this person, what she views this idea as, how naive she is, how for her and for, I don't want to generalize, but for most of these erotic actresses, it might just be a rebellion phase gone horribly wrong. And that was all very interesting, the ideas this movie had about this entire, this thing, let's call it this thing because I'm not literate enough. Like, it was very fucking cool. Vidya Balan definitely carried the movie for me. She brought so many sort of aspects to this fairly like this tragic heroine type of character. Wherein it is obviously tragic, like, oh, she needed to make money. When you read it or when you sort of listed as plot points, it's like, oh, she was starving. She wanted to get into acting. She had a passion for movies. She wanted to make money. But then she's very hot. She decides to take advantage of it. And suddenly people are like, oh, you're hot. That's what will make you known for. And she too sort of goes along with it because like, oh, it's movies. But then, But then she brought so many other parts to her performance. Especially that innocent sort of rebellious naivety she has at the start, wherein it's like, I love movies. She genuinely does love movies. She genuinely does love Nasiruddin Shah's as an actor. Yeah. As an actor. And she's like, oh my God, holy shit. She, remember, she doesn't get food because she wants to go to the theater to see him. She obviously has a passion for it. But then it goes horribly wrong because she's like, oh, I can just get in because I'll be sexy, right? Yeah. And everyone promises her like, oh my God, you just keep doing this and it'll be good. And she also takes it as face value. And throughout the film, you can see that she is sort of growing to realize this. She even talks to that Ratna Amma, like, they both understand that what gets to people is sex. And they decide to exploit it.
Yeah, from the beginning, she does it for some shitty like Nasiruddin Shah movie.
Yeah.
And no one comes to watch the movie and she's like, oh, I guess this movie is not successful. But then people rush in to just watch those hot songs and then they leave. And even I like that scene because there's no immediate like, oh, this is what they look at me as or anything.
Yeah,
she genuinely is just like, wow,
I'm popular.
Yeah, they are here to see me. I like it. I feel so great about it and all that.
Yeah, and I love that subtle hint that she doesn't realize who or what she's viewed in society as. She sort of thinks the attention is all good. She sort of revels in it. She's constantly like, I am your dirty secret. Look at me, you know. You guys come to watch me. You guys can't let go of me. She has that vitriolic anger inside her. But then it's only towards the end, I think, when you notice how damaged this has made her is when she's with the Tushar Kapoor character and she goes like, yeah, you can touch me, it's okay. And he goes like, why do you think that? And it's a very nice moment because you see that, oh, she is sort of warped to thinking that everything is just sex appeal.
Yeah.
How hot you are, how attractive you are.
Yeah, that goes from the beginning when there was this like guy in the theater who was trying to give her money for
sexual favors. Yeah
And then she's rejects it and now she's become like that's all she has type thing.
Yeah, and it's very bad. Yeah, it's really like subtly tragic and it's all because of Vidya Balan. I think she's fucking phenomenal in this movie. Yeah, and it's only at the end where it genuinely feels like she's just sort of accepted her doom in a weird way. Wherein she realizes that, particularly when she's with the Tushar Kapoor character, right, the writer, and she goes like, I want to go home, I want to see my mother. And you think, oh, she's going to see Ratna Manu, she's going to see a real life mother, and a real life mother shuts her out too. And she sees, it sort of hits her even harder that there is a bad side to being such a controversial figure. There is a genuine price to pay for being such an aggressor.
Like she says, like in the beginning, she's like, I don't care about what they write. I just cut the photos and keep it with me or something.
Yeah, exactly. But then later you see her open the cupboard and she sees all the headlines. She has been keeping it. She just hasn't read it.
Yeah.
And now that she reads what all has been said about her, it sort of dawns on her like, oh God, what have I done?
Hmm.
And that was all great. And I think the end where that, this is sort of a negative as well. The whole like, romance she has with Imran Hashmi's character, the director, right? Abraham. That was pretty great, wherein you feel like they both are the same sort of aggressors in their own little ways, where she is sort of this like, I am you, what you people refuse to acknowledge, and he's sort of this like, you people don't understand films at all. And in the end, they both are defeated. And they both are all each other have in a weird way, because even though they hate what each other stand for, they're the only two standing. That's sort of the similarity between the two. They're the only two who are proper standing and aggressing in a way, in any way.
Mm.
And this is not like a subtle detail, but I like that all the three men she's with, the first one, obviously, she's like, she's just Nasiruddin Shah. He's like, I am a fucking sleazebag. Just like 500 times you need to fuck me, right? With Tushar Kapoor's character, there's sort of this sort of delay between her getting to bed with him.
Mm.
And then with Abraham's character, that's the only person she doesn't bed at all. And it feels like that's the only time she had any connection.
Mm.
It, which is sort of a trope. It's not a popular trope, but it is sort of a trope, like the prostitute with the heart of gold. Right?
Mm.
Like, oh, she's fucked everybody, but this one person, it's going to be like...
That she actually, like, never had sex with her type.
Yeah, because it's, like, the most genuine thing in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was all great. I liked a lot of that. And I like this sort of indictment it had on her character that she was rejected by her mother. She was rejected by everybody, really. And she sort of publicly is like, you can't reject me now. And that just makes it worse for her in the end.
Yeah, in the beginning, she seems like she's rebelling against them and she's winning.
Mm-hmm.
And slowly, she realizes that she never really won one.
She never really won anything. Like, Nasiruddin Shah's character said it best. Like, she's gone. Leave her be.
Yeah.
It's okay. She's done with.
There's nothing left for her here. Like, we have another one. The new Shakila or something.
Yeah, Shakila is here, they say. And I like that aspect of it where it feels like it's this person trying to keep up with their fading relevance in a way, especially when she runs outside her house, like, where is everybody? Where is this attention that I was so used to? And she's screaming.
I think that's there even with him and even Nasiruddin Shah's character.
Oh yeah,
he does it by just having like these hot scenes and all that.
Yeah,
and she is the hot scene.
She is the object. The filmmaking in and of itself is great too. I think the style it had, the music choices it used, all worked to its benefit, wherein it was sort, it all felt like this big like smash hit you'd see 40-50 years back. It had those stylistic choices, including the editing as well. Of course, there is that disconnect, like you mentioned, how it stylistically looks like it, but then on the written paper it is definitely not that
North Indian.
Yeah, that disconnect, I guess you could call it. I didn't feel it too much watching this movie, but it is definitely present there, wherein the story itself is way greater than the style that is used to tell it.
Coming to the negatives, I guess. I hated like the structure of Imran Hashmi describing the whole thing. I just like, from the beginning, I was like, shut the fuck up, Imran Hashmi. It's already... it's already very obvious, like over the top film, and on top of that, my man underlines it with highlighter, like writing, like, look at this, like when he is in the this I guess is one of the positives, I guess, and like that scene in when she's sleeping with she's about to have sex with Nasiruddin Shah and the wife comes and she sees and all that, that's a really good scene until Mr. Imran Hashmi opened his mouth saying, she was never straight too, but she's first time she saw that it has the effect. Like, shut the fuck up, Imran Hashmi. Shut the fuck. She's my enemy, but I couldn't get over. She's like this. She like, shut the fuck up. Like, because the entire film, all like already they're like talking in third person constantly. She's like, silk ki duniya mein, silk kid can't do.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
my man on top of it was like, and like by the end, I was like, okay, but the structure really didn't add up to anything. I guess she liked her, him, her from the beginning. Gosh, gosh, it's a classic. No. I hate her, but I actually like her. Fuck off.
No, like I agree with that. It didn't add up to anything. But to me, it all, as annoying as sometimes it sounded, especially in the parts where you completely forgot this character was even in the movie.
Yeah.
Especially then when he started narrating, you're not even here. Why? Yeah. And how do you know this shit?
Yeah, that also.
Yeah, but I feel like that is the film's major flaw in that it didn't include enough of him. Because Imran Hashmi's performance, I liked. It's obviously like the satire on like, I'm an artistic filmmaker.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to touch the minds of people, right? But it was done so well. And I think this is the only movie where I was like, oh, wow. Actor Imran Hashmi instead of serial kisser.
Kisser in Imran Hashmi. Yeah.
It genuinely felt like a performance here, right?
Mm.
But like you said, in the end, it didn't add up to anything because they didn't focus on him enough at all. It never felt like it was sort of this like, tussle between these two leading figures, not leading figures, but these two aggressors in the industry.
Mm.
It genuinely felt like, oh, this is Silk Smitha's biopic.
But just on top, there's voiceover.
Oh, yeah, but then on top, we're going to try and like work this guy in. Somehow it works at the end, but then we didn't do enough of him. So it sort of sticks out and is sort of a sore thumb towards the end of the film. Like what you said about how he was annoying as shit. I was buying it completely because the entire film had that like over the top tone, especially Nasiruddin Shah's. I don't like his performance in this. I think I'm not supposed to like it. He's not really a likable guy or anything, where he's always like, my darling. You know?
I think he went a little overboard with the chewing scene and everything.
I think that is his character, right? It said that he's based on Jiminy Ganeshan.
Yeah, I saw that, but I was like, he did it too much.
Yeah, but I bought it because he is like in towards the end it genuinely feels like he doesn't know what he's doing and he's just this like loose fuckwit and he's just sort of like flinging around with these women. I love that his eyes are always half closed because at the start it's like, oh, he's intimidating, but towards the end it's like he's too high to make sense of anything.
Like I like that scene when I didn't talk about, like the one scene I really liked in the film is when she cancels Nayla's party by doing like a show on.
Oh, yeah.
That was a really good sequence. And I like that in that scene, like, Nasiruddin Shah is like, I think they saw that I am coming, so it's all crowd or something. Sort of delusional. Yeah, but then. The coming back to the loss again, I think the Tushar Kapoor character, like.
Yeah, he's not really good. It's not even because of the actor's fault, even. It's sort of the wrong point of focus. I think for the script.
I think it's both for me. I didn't buy him that much. A lot of it, like when he was saying the dialogues, I was like, fuck off.
Oh yeah, this is interesting. You know, like all the three men she's involved with, they sort of form this sort of gradient on dignity in a weird way. Wherein Nasiruddin Shah's character lacks any morality or anything. And then he's sort of in the middle where he's like, I'm a writer. I want to tell a story and I'm going to be normal and nice to you. And then in the other end of the spectrum is Imran Hashmi's character, who's like the fucking hardcore, like, I'm about art and you fucking whore on the screen. Yeah, and he's the most respectful to her. He's the one who genuinely loves her and wants to make her happy in the soul, so to speak. Yeah, I feel like writing-wise, the movie has a lot of good going for it. But then the way it's executed, like the Tushar Kapoor character negative you mentioned, right? He shouldn't have been focused on for as long as the movie did.
It drags on and on.
And he didn't really end up doing much to her besides just like disillusioning her further. I think the part where he was like, I'll bring you to meet my parents, and she ends up causing a scene there as well. Maybe that was the end goal of his character, but it took way too long to get there. And what it was trying to say was that she is sort of a train wreck in slow motion, which we all gathered already.
Yeah, that was very weird. I felt
Because like she's spoiling this marriage opportunity.
Yeah, I hated the dance off too. I was like, So long.
Not just was it so long, it was such an out of
random
picture moment where
exactly.
It's like, yes, I get it, she's throwing a scene, but it's very obvious that the scene she's throwing is that she's choreographed dancing to this song.
Yeah, it felt very random.
Yeah, I like that the way it ends is very abrupt, right? The beat just like stops and she also stops and everyone's like, oh, what the fuck? But the way it dragged on, it was like, oh, everyone was just silent staring at her. There was no external noise. It's just this song playing on the speaker and no one's like, what? Which the movie very much is like, ah, yeah, this is sort of a grounded sort of take on it in a way, right? It avoids all these songs to an extent.
Yeah, I just didn't buy that shit. It was like,
yeah, that was definitely odd. And I think like her dynamic with Imran Hashmi's character was what should have been the...
Yeah, I mean, like, should have been focused more on that.
Yeah, because the romance they did have was pretty wholesome.
And it was too short to even get the whole feeling of it. In its defense, even though...
Yeah, in its defense.
Maybe the point was that the best relationship she has is the most short-lived.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, that's a good point to make. But then when I was watching the movie, I was like...
But Imran Hashmi shouldn't have done the voiceover for that to work. So fuck off.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it feels like at the end you think like, oh, he's writing about this love that he missed out on. But then, not really.
She just dies and he's like, ah.
I will write her name in the sand.
Yeah, and let it flow.
Yeah, let it just like get rubbed away. And
I think her death was honestly like sort of so rushed.
You're not wrong, because you think like, oh, you know, she's going to meet her mother. Something's going to happen. But then, besides that, I do like the part where she ends up in this like low rent porn studio and she's genuinely at her wit's end. But then the way it's just like immediately rushed to her, like, okay, I'm a fucking off myself was very like, come on. And the ending to this is so shit. Like, what the fuck was that? Like, he says some shit, right, about like, and soon she'll be forgotten or something.
Yeah, and like even in like heaven or something,
she's causing an uproar. But then like it suddenly cuts to that, and I was like, oh, okay, so this wasn't tragic or sad at all. She won in the end.
She won in a weird way.
She won in a writer way.
And other than that, I feel like the language inconsistency was very irritating. Like, I get that it's a Hindi movie. But also, there were points when it had Tamil songs, Tamil like things in it. And then also, they are all speaking Hindi lines. It was just odd to me. Maybe other than that, the other irritating thing was the Naila, like the journalist character. I was like, she was constantly just saying like, Silk, I don't know what you will do. But
oh my god, yeah. I completely forgot about this, especially the fucking awkward cuts to her face. Like, she just says something and you know she was not even
like
here.
Like, who is she saying to all this?
Yeah.
Like, when the big, like, she does that, like, scene in near her road, she's like, Silk, I thought you were like this, but you are like this. Silk, I thought you are a revolutionary. Are you a victim? Are you a fuck? I was like, God.
I think the worst part for me concerning that was when she, like, you know, she creates that big fuss at the dance, right? At the party. And she goes like, Silk, I told you not to think, right? Look at what has happened. Who are you telling this to?
Exactly. Like, there are so many points. She was like, well, who are you? Is she selling it to the camera? Is that supposed to be fourth
wall? Is this
wall
like
break?
Fuck a fourth wall break? Is this like the style of the movie? Like, oh, it's from that era.
But no one else does that.
Yeah, exactly. It's not consistent enough.
Yeah. It's so dumb. I hated her character. Yeah, I had, like, some of it. A lot of fun. There are a lot of flaws in this movie, but I enjoyed the film, like, to some extent, mostly.
I enjoyed it quite a lot, actually.
Yeah, for what it tried to do, I appreciate it.
Yeah, I think it's, like, a really good biopic, but it's just kind of flawed. It's very noticeably flawed. And what do you give it?
It's a 5 out of 10 for me. 5 or 6 out of 10.
I give it like an 8.
Damn. Okay.
Yeah, I guess like 7, but I genuinely enjoyed it. I have like a fucking hideous wet spot for these. Like, oh, they're going to die in the end. It's a fading from relevance thing.
Yeah, and that was the biopics episode.
Yeah.
And And for the next week's episode, it's going to be a M. Night Shyamalan special episode. And we're going to be talking about his films, and namely Old 2021, The Happening 2008, Unbreakable from 2000, and The Sixth Sense 1999. Yeah. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Check out our YouTube channel. Check out our Instagram page.
Check out our Twitter. We made one tweet.
Yeah.
We'll get to the second one soon.
Yeah. And all that. And yeah. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.